Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
New Zealand. The United Nations International Day in Support of Victims of Torture falls on June 26th every year. Falun Gong practitioners held a rally in Auckland City on June 28th. Political figures and human rights activists came to voice their support for practitioners' efforts to expose the Chinese Communist Party's 26-year-long persecution of Falun Gong. Tony Brunt, former member of the Wellington City Council, said at the rally that being free from oppression and torture is a human right, regardless of where one is, and that if people don't take action now, the CCP may export its terror to the rest of the world. Mr. Qing Jian, who used to protest with his parents for the right to practice Falun Gong in China, said at the rally, "If a country cannot guarantee a person's right to be good, it is not a civilized country." He called on the world's governments to stop working with the CCP and take its crimes against humanity seriously.
Netherlands. The annual NATO summit was held this year at The Hague in the Netherlands from June 24th to the 26th. Heads of NATO member countries, including U.S. President Donald Trump and Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky, gathered at the World Forum for the conference. Falun Gong practitioners in the Netherlands held truth-sharing activities at the Peace Palace, located less than 2 miles from the location of the NATO summit, to raise awareness of the persecution. Banners calling out the persecution by the CCP and other truth clarification activities were in full display to attendees of the summit as they made their way to the venue. Tourists came to the information table to learn about Falun Gong and signed a petition calling for an end to the persecution. Manuel will soon graduate from the Maastricht University Faculty of Law. He said, "What you are doing here is important, waking the people's conscience. China is a very closed-off country. It forbids the free flow of information. Exposing this, publicizing the truth covered behind closely shut doors is extremely important. It helps people understand the real situation behind the propaganda that gives people a false narrative. You are awakening people's conscience. I sincerely wish you success in your efforts."
Germany. The annual multicultural festival was held at Kennedy Park in the city of Aachen on June 22nd. The event was a colorful celebration of diversity, cultural exchange, and shared values. Various cultural associations residing in Aachen and the surrounding area displayed original foods, handicrafts, as well as clothing and informational materials of their national cultures. Located at colorful stands around the park, Falun Gong practitioners set up a booth to show people the benefits of their practice. The festival is not only a celebration of culture, but also a celebration of conscience, humanity, and hope. Falun Gong practitioners demonstrated the exercises, exposed the lucrative crime of live organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience in China, and collected numerous signatures on a petition to stop the persecution of Falun Gong.
Canada. Two screenings of the documentary State Organs were held at the Central Library in the city of Calgary, in the province of Alberta, on June 23rd, during the annual Rotary International Convention. The screenings were hosted by the End Forced Organ Harvesting Rotary Satellite Club, a cause-based Rotary e-club dedicated to raising awareness of the issue. More than half of the audience were Rotary Club members from various countries. Rob Anders, a former member of Parliament for Calgary, attended the state organ screening. He said, "I just hope that more and more people realize what is going on in China. I think the atrocities that are being perpetrated against Falun Gong are comparable to, if not in excess of, what happened under Nazi Germany." Mr. Anders expressed the hope that the governments of South Korea and Japan will follow Taiwan's lead and make it clear that they do not want to see their people go to China to obtain organs from imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners. He said, "I think more people just need to be aware that if they are getting organs from China, Falun Gong practitioners are dying to provide those organs, and the government has tremendous blood on its hands."
USA. Falun Dafa practitioners from Seattle, Washington, and Vancouver, Canada, participated in the Marysville Strawberry Festival Parade on June 21st. This year, the parade had 90 participating groups and attracted thousands of spectators. Falun Dafa practitioners' beautiful float, waist drum team, and exercise demonstration were greeted with warm applause. Marysville is a beautiful city in Snohomish County and part of the Seattle metropolitan area. On April 28th this year, Mayor John Nehring issued a proclamation declaring May 13, 2025, Falun Dafa Day in Marysville. As the Falun Dafa procession passed the central stage, the host introduced Falun Dafa and described it as a cultivation practice that follows the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, and that people in over 100 countries practice it. The host also mentioned that it is free to learn, and more information could be found at the falundafa.org website.
Canada, June 24th was a provincial holiday in the province of Quebec. Falun Dafa practitioners were invited to take part in the historic Salaberry de Valleyfield Parade. Many spectators said practitioners brought a message of tranquility, peace, and hope. This parade in the waterfront city of Valleyfield began in 1896 and is a major annual celebration enjoyed by local residents. Tens of thousands of spectators gathered along the 1.8-mile route and gave practitioners a warm welcome. Falun Dafa practitioners have been invited to take part in the event for more than 10 years. Organizing committee member Michael Bougie said, "We are delighted to see the arrival of the Tianguo Marching Band. People in Valleyfield and other regions absolutely love this band. The band's uplifting music, beautiful costumes, and particularly the values of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance are the reasons for the group's popularity." He said that the values promoted by the local parade, family, tolerance, joy, and peace, are compatible with truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. He added, "People need these traditional values." The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. After years of police harassment, a 74-year-old woman in Qingyang City, Gansu Province, died on May 19, 2025. Ms. Guo Caiping took up Falun Gong in 2005 and soon recovered from rheumatoid arthritis and other illnesses. Despite the ongoing persecution of the practice, she felt compelled to tell people not to fall victim to the communist regime's slanderous propaganda against Falun Gong. While distributing Falun Gong informational materials 10 years ago, Ms. Guo was arrested and her home was raided. Ms. Guo was sentenced to 3 years in prison, where the guards forced her to take unknown pills daily. She began feeling drowsy, sleepy, and had no appetite, and she stammered when talking and could not speak clearly. Suspecting this was a result of the pills, she stopped taking them and discarded them without being seen by the guards. The symptoms soon went away. After Ms. Guo was released, her family tried to stop her from practicing Falun Gong for fear of her being arrested again. She persisted in doing the Falun Gong exercises. One morning, her cell phone alarm went off and her family discovered Falun Gong information on the phone. Misled by the propaganda, they turned the phone into the police. Several officers soon arrived and took Ms. Guo to the local police station for interrogation. She was then released. However, the police continued to harass Ms. Guo, and the relentless pressure took a toll on Ms. Guo's health. She was diagnosed with lung cancer and died on May 19, 2025.
Ming Wei previously reported on the suspicious in-custody death of a 49-year-old man in Hebei province. It was recently learned that his family was forced to bury his body 2 days later and waived their right to seek justice for him. Mr. Zhao Jojo was arrested in 2016 for protesting the persecution of his mother because she practiced Falun Gong. He became mentally disabled after being given an injection while in custody. He was arrested again last year for writing messages supporting Falun Gong on utility poles and died in custody on April 26, 2025. His family was forced to accept 180,000 yuan in compensation and sign a waiver stating that he died of natural causes and that they would not hold his perpetrators responsible. They buried his body while a police officer video recorded the entire process.
Ms. Fan Chuanshou of Zixing City, Hunan Province, passed away on June 5, 2025. After enduring years of persecution for practicing Falun Gong, she was 65 years old. Ms. Fan took up Falun Gong in 1998 and soon recovered from the ailments she had. After the Chinese Communist Party ordered the persecution of Falun Gong, she went to Beijing to appeal for the right to practice her faith, only to be arrested and sentenced to 7 years by a court in Zixing. The women's prison where Ms. Fan was jailed held continuous brainwashing sessions. Falun Gong practitioners who refused to renounce their faith were forced to attend sessions where they weren't allowed to sleep and were forced to watch videos smearing Falun Gong. Ms. Fan was taken to a strict management cell in 2003 for brainwashing sessions. The guards forced her to sit on a small stool motionless every day for long hours. One day, 8 inmates surrounded Ms. Fan and placed photos of Falun Gong's founder under her buttocks and feet. They said to her, "This is the country's penal institution. You have to obey the orders here." As Ms. Fan refused to budge, the persecution escalated. After Ms. Fan was released, the continuous harassment by local police brought about her early death.
In March of this year, a married couple were both sentenced for their faith in Falun Gong, with Ms. Zhang Lianji receiving 7 years and Mr. Qin Jianzhong receiving a 3-year sentence. New information has recently emerged that the couple had actually both been sentenced to 8 years following their arrest. Mr. Qin's appeal was rejected, and the 63-year-old man was admitted to the Shandong Province Prison. It is unclear whether his 62-year-old wife also appealed and where she is being held at the time of writing. The couple took up Falun Gong in 1997 and soon regained their health. Their son also recovered from his illnesses. After the start of the persecution, Ms. Zhang served 2 forced labor terms and 1 prison sentence totaling 6 years, and Mr. Qin served a 3-year term of forced labor. Mr. Qin's once healthy mother was unable to cope with the ongoing persecution of him and his wife and suffered declining health. She died in 2009. Besides the couple, many other Falun Gong practitioners in the greater Tai'an region have been sentenced for their faith in recent years, with 28 sentencing cases handled by 3 courts in the region. Virtual Round Table on Forced Organ Harvesting held prior to G7 Summit. The organization Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting held a virtual round table to mark the first anniversary of the G7+7 international petition to end forced organ harvesting. The petition urges G7 leaders to denounce the Chinese regime and call for investigations. The G7+7 petition was initiated by 2 associations, Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting and End Transplant Abuse in China. The virtual event titled Leadership Means Courage to Act call upon China to end forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong took place on June 14th. It brought together distinguished speakers. Renowned human rights lawyer David Mattis spoke of the importance of raising the issue with the G7 leaders. He explained that those leaders carry weight because China cares about its standing on the international stage. Criticism from G7 governments is taken seriously by China. Therefore, if G7 governments take action and speak out, they can exert real pressure on China regarding human rights. Member of Parliament Garnett Genius was unable to attend the roundtable, but expressed his commitment and support through a video. He spoke about the adoption of a law in Canada that makes it a crime to travel abroad to receive a harvested organ without consent. He strongly encouraged lawmakers in other countries to adopt similar legislation, to raise awareness and pass prohibitions like what's been done in Canada. He said, "This is a grievous violation of fundamental human rights, obviously. It's horrific that it has happened and continues to happen, so we need to end complicity by those who are in Western countries and do what we can to call this out, hold perpetrators of human rights abuses accountable, and stop these actions from happening." Member of Parliament Dan Mewis has been a longtime supporter of Falun Gong, and he encouraged practitioners to continue their efforts and to raise public awareness of what is happening and encourage action. Dr. Andreas Weber, MD, Deputy Director of the organization Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting in Europe, said, "Forced organ harvesting is truly a crime. It is a horrible crime." He then presented the first results of the G7+7 petition against live organ harvesting and commented, "After a year, we have already collected 197,250 signatures. And this petition seems to be developing momentum. By talking with the people who collect signatures in the street, we notice that they all share the same experience. When people first hear about forced organ harvesting, they want to act against it."
G7 leaders take a stand against transnational repression. The G7 summit was held in Kananaskis, Alberta, Canada, from June 15th to June 17th. A joint statement condemning transnational repression was issued on the last day. The statement reads, "We, the leaders of the G7, are deeply concerned by growing reports of transnational repression, TNR. TNR is an aggressive form of foreign interference whereby states or their proxies attempt to intimidate, harass, harm, or coerce individuals or communities outside their borders. TNR undermines national security, state sovereignty, the safety and human rights of victims, and principles of international law. It has a chilling effect on our countries. TNR often impacts dissidents, journalists, human rights defenders, religious minorities, and those identified as part of diaspora communities. We condemn all acts of TNR, including but not limited to those involving threats or acts of physical violence, such as harassment, assault, abduction, or assassination, misuse of cooperation with other foreign states, international bodies, and intergovernmental organizations in order to detain, forcibly return, or repress targets, such as leveraging extraterritorial law application and counterterrorism and investigative tools, forced return by confiscating passports, invalidating documents, or denying consular services, digital transnational repression, such as doxing and sexual smear campaigns, particularly targeting women, to induce compliance, silence, threaten, discredit, or retaliate. Misuse of spyware and cyber tools to engage in surveillance and to enable physical targeting and tracking, hacking, or cyber harassment, and direct or implicit threats against family members. The G7 leaders are also concerned about what they said were threats by foreign states and their proxies to our citizens outside our borders, such as arbitrary detention. They also said they will, quote, redouble our efforts to keep our communities safe, to defend human rights, including the freedom of expression online and offline, and to safeguard our sovereignty. The British International Freedom of Expression Organization, called Article 19, published a report titled Going Global, China's Transnational Repression of Protesters Worldwide, which investigated how the Chinese Communist Party launched a systematic transnational repression against protesters and critics of their human rights record, and pointed out that the CCP's transnational repression is the most complex and largest organized repression in the world. The Washington, D.C.-based magazine The Diplomat indicated in a revealing report on February 24th that the CCP had strengthened its control over the media and used lawfare to suppress dissidents, especially the Falun Gong group. It stated that since the beginning of last year, the CCP has used the U.S. media and judiciary system to launch a systematic attack on Shen Yun and Falun Gong. They are also credited for bombing and shooting threats that occurred during Shen Yun's global tour.
Practitioners of all ages meet to share cultivation experiences. The Canada Mingui School in the Markham area of Toronto held its third Fa Conference on June 29th. 18 young Dafa disciples, 2 teachers, and 2 parents shared their cultivation experiences. The children at the Mingui School swim against the current of modern trends to cultivate their minds and treat others with kindness. 8-year-old Zi Qiang, also known as Sean, has been dancing for 5 years and works hard to improve his flexibility because he hopes to become a Shen Yun dancer when he grows up. To practice doing the splits, he has to lean against a wall and spread his legs 180 degrees apart. At first, he couldn't do it and found it very painful. As he struggled, his dad asked him if he wanted to stop the stretch. When the boy said he wanted to persevere, his dad suggested that they recite together one of Master Li's poems, Tempering the Will, from Hong Yin. After a while of doing this, suddenly he felt the pain in his legs begin to fade. That night, he made great progress and broke through his own barriers. 7-year-old Amy often brought nice things from home to school to show them off, hoping her classmates would admire her. Recently, she thought about bringing a beautiful organizer to school again to show it off, but she changed her mind after thinking, I can't show it again. And in that moment, she made the decision to control her impulse to try to impress people. Veteran practitioner Ms. Wong believes that the Mingui School provides a good cultivation environment for both adults and children. She said this school helps the teachers and children to stay on the path of cultivation. It helps them to know how to cultivate and how to use the Fa as a guide for their lives. Another Canadian Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference took place on June 22nd. In the British Columbia city of Burnaby, 17 practitioners talked about their Falun Dafa cultivation. A young practitioner knew that practicing cultivation is the real purpose of life and felt the urgency of saving people. However, she was not diligent and could not find the cause of the problem. She became frustrated because she frequently forgot things. A family member suggested that she often forgets things because her main consciousness was weak. The young practitioner discovered that she took letting go of her main consciousness as something natural and acceptable. After finding the problem, she did not forget things as often. In the city of St. Pölten, Austria, the 23rd annual Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference took place on June 28th. 15 practitioners shared their cultivation stories. Christina said, I recently realized that complaining is an attachment that is very misleading. This is because it creates an illusion in which you feel your resentment is justified. It could suppress your true self and send such thoughts into your mind as, the situation is indeed difficult. It is so frustrating, or others just do not understand me, she explained. She realized that a Falun Dafa practitioner should cultivate compassion, which is different from resentment. Looking back, Christina understood that she had tried to forbear and cultivate herself amid the adversities, but her resentment continued. She said, "I've now realized that resentment should not have existed in the first place because it isn't part of me. The further I looked inward, the more I realized that resentment is dirty and negative. It is rooted in selfishness and is the opposite of compassion. In fact, going along with resentment is disrespecting Master Lee and Dafa."
Thank you for listening to the Mingwei Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.